Melanie Bernhardt, candidate for City Council District 6. Thank you so much for coming in today.
You're very welcome.
Just to begin with, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your background.
All right, let's see. Well, I was born and raised in Southern California, so I came from the bubble, and I had a really good life. I had middle-class family and, you know, the proper values that go with an Orange County lifestyle. And I turned 39, and I thought California just isn't for me. And I had been running a nonprofit for 8+ years. I was also the director of the board, and just the stresses of the world and everything, I just wanted to get out. So I moved to Georgia. I lasted a whole 5 months and then started heading back to California and told my nephew, hey, I've never gotten to live in Colorado, so I always wanted to try it, and that was 9 years ago. Here I am.
And why are you running to represent District 6?
You know, that's a very interesting question. There's so many things that I would like to see changed in this world. Georgia had a lot to do with changing of my opinions and my values and my morals in life. And this administration that's coming in, I just felt I wanted to take a more active role in politics, because you can either sit back and watch the world happen to you and complain about it, or you can get off the couch and you can actually be the change you want to happen.
And when you say this administration, you mean the Trump administration?
That is correct.
And so you're running to represent District 6, like we said. How would you characterize your district, and what are some of the constituencies that you see there?
From what I know about my district, and I do a lot of hanging out at, you know, coffee shops and restaurants, and I have kids that have gone to school in the District 49. And so they seem to be the more middle class, 20s, 30s, 40s, that sort of age group. Everybody I've met has been very nice over there. It looks like I've got part of Indigo Ranch. I've got, you know, the air base in my district as well. I'm no stranger to the military living in my backyard. I lived on the backside of Pendleton for 13 years. So, you know, these are all people that I'm already very accustomed to. And basically all they're trying to do is raise a family and have a good life for themselves and a better world for their kids, clean water, you know, good streets, healthy living, nothing that any other red-blooded American doesn't want, so.
And when you look at your district, what are some of the big issues that you see that you think need to be addressed?
I think right now my biggest concern is environment. I know that we're growing and busting at the seams. And if you look at my district, I've got a lot of rural areas in it. And, you know, 35 years ago when I first visited Colorado Springs, it was very desolate. And you could walk across Garden of the Gods, no signal in the middle of the day, not a problem. You wouldn't be a bug on the road. But nowadays we're so packed. And what I see happening is we're encroaching on the wildlife, we're encroaching on the environment, and we're basically making a problem for our kids in the future to deal and clean up with. I'm obviously, just like everybody else, I'm concerned with the stormwater issue. Little bit with the Drake power plant, but I think a lot of that is set in motion, and right now it will be part of our design to make sure that Drake power plant stays on course with bringing that thing down. 2035 is a long ways away. It would be nice if it came down a little earlier, and it just might. So, but with the EPA potentially going away in 2018, then we want to make sure that we stay on course for the citizens of Colorado Springs.
So I hear you sort of talking about a lot of environmental issues. Are there any other sort of citywide issues that you think council really needs to address in this next term?
I can tell you, as a disabled person, I have my own vehicle. I drive around, blah, 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 blah. However, if I were a person that didn't have my own car or anything like that, transportation is very tough for anybody with a limitation. I use a wheelchair, but that doesn't, it's not just me. What about an elderly person that needs to take a bus? If you take a look in our district, there's just not a lot of transportation for us. You have to walk down to Academy or, you know, to further locations, at least a good mile to 3 miles to catch transportation. We're too big a city not to have better transportation flow. With all the construction and things like that going around, oftentimes if I take my dog for a walk, I notice I have to get off the sidewalk to, you know, go take a walk. And it's not good to walk in the street. Cars are going too fast in this town. And so I you know, that's something also. Some of the parks are, I don't know, I've seen better parks in my life. I just have. So I'd like to see some of that possibly more kid-friendly. And, you know, just natural things, a way of living, I think, is what's big for me.
And some of those issues you mentioned, going to stormwater or transportation or some of the infrastructure issues, a lot of that will take some kind of public investment in order to address those issues. When you think about our tax base and our ability or inability to pay for infrastructure needs, what do you see as being potential solutions to some of those issues? Where do you think money should come from to support some of these kinds of projects?
I think currently the mayor is doing the best he can. The stormwater was something that was being paid for. And, you know, I know a little bit about what happened in the past. 2009, that budget, you know, ceased to exist. But we're still left with needing to repair the stormwater. So, you know, money has been taken out of the general fund to try to take care of this. But the bottom line is if you want clean water, you're going to have to take it from somewhere. Somebody's got to pay for it because it doesn't just appear. You know, we're going to, I hate to have to ask the taxpayers. I really do. That's the last thing I want. But unfortunately, if we want our infrastructure fixed, we're going to have to put a little bit more money forward on it. I know nobody wants to hear that, and I hate to say it because that's like death of a candidate. But, you know, that's the reality of the situation is it's got to be finished. And now we're engaged in these lawsuits because we're not meeting our targets and things like that. And that's only going to get worse and worse, and it's like a snowball effect. And eventually what might cost, say, 50 cents today is going to end up costing everybody $1.50 maybe in 2 years because they didn't want to take care of it at the beginning.
You mentioned 2009. That brings to mind Tabor and some of the challenges involved with that. And again, with stormwater, there's going to be a refund on the ballot this year asking whether the city can use some of that additional money. Do you see Tabor and the ratchet down effect associated with that? How do you think the city should deal with Tabor and with some of the challenges that poses for funding infrastructure?
I think that the mayor is presenting a good idea here to try to get that Tabor, what do you call it, a cap, you know, try to get it moved a little bit because, in my opinion, it's easier to ask the taxpayers, you know, like say, hey, I have a nickel of your money. Do you mind? I mean, I would give them the choice. They still deserve to be able to vote on it. Can I use this nickel to start, you know, getting this? Or do you want me to give the nickel back? And then you can give me 15 cents back later. And so this is my constituents' community. It's not just mine. It's not just the mayor's. We should not be making decisions without their input. And so I want to hear from them. You know, I'm out and about in the community. If they have a better idea, I'm listening. But yes, I think that the Tabor idea, you know, raising that cap there and trying to help pay for this would be a help. It's great to have that extra bit of money back in your pocket. It really is. But the point is I would hate to have to turn around and ask for that and then more in another year or two.
So when you look back at the past term of city council, where do you think maybe the council has fallen short or what kinds of things could the council be doing differently or better in your view?
That's a really hard question for me to answer because I'm not in their shoes. As far as the city council goes, these guys are doing all right. I don't have a lot of, hey, what are you doing? I think I would like to see them be a little bit more mindful of, how our city is growing. And the money coming in is really great. Love it. Love the money. However, can we sustain growing at this rate and not fix what was broken in the past and put in new working systems for our growing city in the future? I'm old enough now to realize that, oh, wait, we have to think ahead of this moment in time. And, I'm middle-aged now, and so I'm starting to understand. You got to put a little thought into adventures. So I would like to just see things a little bit better for a growing society and not just do it because it looks good and cut corners to make it go faster.
And when you look out, 10, 15, 20 years, kind of thinking about that longer-term vision, how would you like to see the city look in 15, 20 years?
To be honest with you, I think that my view of the city might be very different than the views of the people that are actually living in it. And I'm just one voice trying to speak for 72,000? One of those. Anyways, personally, I would, like to see buffalo, running around on the plains and bears playing in trees and, I realize that growth is not going to allow for that, but I would like to disrupt nature as little as possible. People get so upset that the wildlife are coming into town. Well, where are they going to go? And so I would like to try to not disturb nature as much as possible. I realize it's unrealistic to think that we won't, and we will encroach on them in the future. But 10, 15, 20 years, I think we can kind of keep the reins in on it and do with what we've got. We've got a lot of land here that, we're already uprooting and digging up, so.
Do you have any particular strategies in mind for how we might, understanding that the city probably will continue to grow, are there things you think we could do in order to minimize that environmental impact while still managing that growth?
Well, my crystal ball didn't give me many answers on this one. It's hard to say how the city is going to grow. Even if I do get into city council for the next 4 years and hopefully the following four, that I'm still only a small part of this gigantic puzzle. I think that the city needs to make an effort not to reach beyond its means and, start maybe enforcing a little bit more public transportation to keep pollution and smog and things like that down. Encourage people to spread out a little less, unless they're taking a bike or, doing something positive like that for the environment. I don't really know. I know that that many areas that are being developed are already pre-planned. There's not a lot we can do about all that. That's already been voted on, and that's where we're going. But what we can do is we can try to be mindful of the developments that are beyond that.
One issue that came up in the previous term with Andy Pico, the representative for District 6 currently, he introduced a resolution. The title was Opposition to the Relocation of Refugees from the United States Refugee Resettlement Program to the City of Colorado Springs. That was an issue that caused quite a stir, which Councilman Pico was asked to comment on. I wonder what your sense of that is. Is that an issue that you agree with, that you feel similarly about? Is that something that you would like to comment on?
Probably have a very different view than Andy Pico. I spend my days hosting foreign exchange kids. And next year, I will actually be working for the organization that brings the kids over here from other countries. I go to Germany 2 times per year. I have met the refugees. I've been in the camps. I've then their own clothes are distributed to them. The refugees that I've seen come in the foreign countries, they're people just like us trying to flee war-torn areas. And I think that a lot of fear has been presented to the American public. And until the American public can possibly see these people and see the blood, and it's hard to turn away a small child that's had its right arm blown off in a war-torn country. I do agree that the vetting process does need to be there, but so many of these people fleeing are the ones that have the children and, you know, the grandmothers and, you know, generations of families, and they're good people, and they're doctors and lawyers and people just like you and me. So do I think that we can spare some room for some refugees? Yes, I do. And if someone came to my house and said, can I stay? You know, I'm from Syria. I'm okay with that. They're not here to harm us. And as a rule of thumb, 99.9% of them are good people. Even if you take a handful of Americans, you're still going to find a few bad ones. And perhaps maybe they should vet us a little better sometimes, you know? So people are still people. And there's good ones and there's bad ones. But I would probably have to go against Andy on that one.
Mayor Southers has repeatedly in speeches and elsewhere made this point that Colorado Springs is the 40th largest city in the country and we should, quote, start acting like it. Does that mean anything to you? What do you think of that statement?
Which city exactly does he want us to act like? Does he want us to act like L.A.? Okay, kids, let your pants drop to your knees and, you know, try to look cool. You know, I'm not really sure what he's digging at when he says something like that. I still think that we can keep that small city mentality and be friendly with one another and welcoming and, you know, bask in the things that we do have and be grateful and thankful. But acting like a big city, I think I would want more discussion on exactly what he's after. Does he want to put subways in? I know that there's word of, what's it called, the silver bullet coming to and from Pueblo. You know, is that what he has in mind for acting like a big city? We already have some big city problems here that we should probably start working on taking care of before we introduce more.
Finally, I would like to just give you a chance to make a pitch. Why should folks in District 6 vote for you?
I think one of the things that is most important when you're considering who to vote for is everybody always talks about change. I want to change and I want things to be better. If you seriously want change and you seriously want to make things better, then get out and vote, for Pete's sake, because this was a right that was fought for so many, and take advantage of that. You do get a voice. I'm in the district. I'm walking around. You can't miss me. I have a chocolate lab in a wheelchair, and it just talk to me and tell me what it is that you want for your city. I have no personal agenda, really. None. I want what it is you want. Okay, I lied. I want a little better parking in the back of the parking lot, but that's about it. But I want to do a good job for you, and I want to be your voice. And, you know, I'm definitely pro-people. I'm pro-animals, and I want to make this a better community. I don't want to clog us up and run us down with more problems. So please just stop me on the street and talk to me, or stop off at a local coffee shop, and I'm sure y'all know which one I'm talking about. And just talk to me. I'll take what you say in mind. If it's something that can't be done, then, you know, I'll come back to you and I'll tell you why.
Melanie Bernhardt, candidate for District 6, Colorado Springs City Council. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.